We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
We serve the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You know, people can change, cultures can change, but God never changes. You know, as Pastor Chris said, I'm all the way from Maikop, Russia, which is close to 10,000 miles away. And you know, for many, many years, Russia was a very close country. I'm sure you learned history at school. But Russia was a communist country. It was a dark country. People were taught for 70 plus years that there is no God. People were taught that you can do whatever you want to do, God still loves you. Don't take me wrong, I believe that. God still loves you, but God doesn't love sometimes the things that we do. But people were taught that whatever you do, it's fine. You can drink, kill, smoke, good drugs, everything's fine. The communists, the KGB, they were trying to destroy every single Christian. I am a fourth generation Christian. My great-grandfather, my grandfather, my dad, and myself, and I believe our two sons, Samuel and Daniel, they're going to be fifth generation in Jesus' name. I believe that. And, you know, people, Christians in Russia were living under this strong persecution in the times of darkness. You know, don't take me wrong, people had lights. They would push the button and the lights would come on, but they were living in times of darkness. The whole country was living in the time of darkness. The communists, they were trying, the statistics say they killed over 1 million of Christians. Over 1,000 churches were destroyed. Hundreds and hundreds of pastors were just killed and sent to prisons just for being Christians. How many of you have your Bible with you? I believe Bible is the most precious Word of God that we have. My grandfather, thank God he still lives, he is 85 years old. He was sentenced to over 20 years in prison just for being a Christian and just for owning the Bible. The KGB found single Bible in his house, and he was sent to 20 years in prison just for owning the Bible. How many of you remember a guy named Stalin? Stalin was the man who signed my grandfather's papers for him to go to prison. When Stalin died, they let him out of prison. My grandfather still lives, and he can tell us and share the stories with us that help us to appreciate the value of God's Word today. You know, America is a blessed country. Really, I mean, I love America with all my heart. And, you know, when the Soviet Union, big Soviet Union, broke up, you know, and freedom came to Russia, it was time for many, many Russian families to move to the United States. Our family had invitations from Canadian government and from U.S. government to come to this country and live here. And I told my daddy, oh, come on, daddy, let's go. Let's get out from this stupid Russia and come to the blessed America. It was my desire. But my dad, he's a great man of God. He is the senior pastor of the church. He said, that's good when we want something and we do it, but that's the best when we want to do God's will. We said, let's pray and see what God wants us to do. We said, Lord, do you want us to stay in the darkness, in a dark country that is denying Christianity, that is killing Christians, or do you want us to move to the United States of America or Canada? And God spoke to my dad, I want you to stay in Russia and preach the gospel, and I'm going to protect you. I was a little bit younger at that time. I said, Daddy, come on. I mean, let's get out of here. Let's get out of Russia. Let's come to America. I want to live, but I want to have just better life. You know, there is nothing wrong with that. If you go to New York, if you go to Seattle, Washington, Houston, Texas, California, Sacramento, California, big Russian communities, they say Sacramento, California is 60% population, Russian people. They flee from the Soviet Union and move to this blessed country. And it is a blessed country, you know. I just drive down the road, I count churches. And there is almost a church on every corner, which is a blessing, you know. I love this country with all my heart, but I love Russia. This is where my heart is. This is where we live. You know, you can see by my accent that United States is not my home, and English is not my first language. But my grandfather, he is a great blessing to us. He tells us the stories when they were sending him to prison and he took his Bible away from him. He tore a couple of pages from the Bible and hide them in his socks and in his shoes. Just to be able to have some opportunity to read God's Word. You know, we have Bibles today. We ought to be reading them. We ought to be studying them to see what God wants us to do. How God wants us to live our lives. You know, it is the Word of God. People gave their lives just for owning the Bible. My grandfather is from the family of seven boys. Him and six other boys, six brothers. There was time when all of them, seven of them, were in prisons for preaching the gospel. My grandfather is the only one who still lives. Some of those, they just died in those prisons for preaching the gospel. My grandpa was lucky. Well, I do not like to use the word lucky, but he was blessed to be sent in prison, not to be shot, not to be killed. And he tells us that there were times when there was the only Bible for the whole church. And people would have to walk 20, 30 miles one way. You know, Russia is not as warm as Plano, Texas, as Dallas area, Texas. Can get below zero easy. And people had to walk for 20 miles with the temperatures below zero Fahrenheit, with the wind blowing like crazy to a forest or to a cave, just to be able to have some fellowship. Many of those families that went to those meetings never came back home because they were killed by the communists and by KGB. Grandfather told me when the preacher would open the Bible, it was dark everywhere. But the beam of light from heaven just shined into that book. As he would begin to read, the power of God just would fall on those people in an amazing way. They couldn't scream, they couldn't jump, they couldn't shout. It was as quiet as you think. But God's presence was awesome. You know, this is the God's presence I feel today in your church. And God is doing amazing things in Russia today. And Russia is a little bit more free country. They're not killing us for being Christians. They're persecuting us in other ways, but they're not killing me for owning the Bible, which is very, very good. I'm very thankful to God for that. Don't take me wrong. I'm not complaining. You know, I'm just thanking God for allowing me to be Christian, to have Bible in my house. And our church is in the very south of Russia. Thank God it's growing in an amazing way. God just been doing amazing things there. And for many years, our desire was to win the young people to the Lord. You know, senior citizens, don't take me wrong. You're the foundation. But when we need the young people, who's going to take this message and carry it over to the next generation? We need somebody who's going to preach the gospel when we're going to die. You know, and we said, Lord, how we can do that? You know, how we can, you know, God bless us tremendously. Maybe I told you that story last time I came to your church a couple years ago, how God blessed us with the most beautiful building in the city of 200,000 people. And it's home, the Apostolic Bible Church. God is just doing amazing things there. It was a miracle, you know. If you would like, interested, I'll tell you that story later. But God just did a miracle. And we said, Lord, how we can fill up this building? It's beautiful, but it's empty. What do you want us to do? And God said, go outside. Don't sit in your comfort zone. It's wonderful to be in your own place. Nice and comfortable, cool or warm. But go out. Step out and do something. Tell somebody God loves you. We said, okay, Lord, we're going to do that. So, you know, by the law of Russia right now says that we cannot legally preach the gospel outside of church building. If we go to the streets and try, you know, to give our tracts, we can end up in jail. They do not allow us to have any kind of activities. We have to ask their permission, the official's permission to have all this. And we said, okay, there are so many people on the streets, especially young people who drink vodka like water. You know, number one drink in the United States is iced tea. Number one drink in Russia is vodka. Everybody drinks. Everybody. It's the Fox News just ran a report a couple months ago, and they said Russia, the number one, the most common thing in Russia is vodka. And everybody drinks. People just outside drinking vodka. Kids can drink vodka. They can smoke and do drugs. It's very, very bad. And we as a church, we cannot accept this as it is. This darkness can come, but we have the light. Darkness cannot stand in the light. I don't care how dark it can be. But if you light a match, turn on your flashlight, darkness disappears. I don't care how dark it can be. You know, sometimes you've been in the mountains at nighttime. You walk and you feel the darkness. I mean, you just feel the darkness. You cannot see 1 inch from your nose, but you just can feel the darkness. As soon as you turn on your flashlight, it disappears. And we have that light. Bible said, you are the light. We are supposed and we should be the light today to this world that's dying, to this world that's being destroyed. And we said, okay, so we went to those people from the streets and we said, you know, we're going to make a youth camp. You know, we've been doing these youth camps for 3 years now in a row. I just want to share you the miracle of last year youth camp. Well, I'm saying last year, it's just been a couple months ago, three months ago. We had over 100 young people from the streets came to this youth camp. The officials did not allow us to have this youth camp in the city. They said you have to go to the mountains. So we take all these 100 kids to the mountains. 6 days of straight revival, fun, games, wonderful time in the Lord. And I'm telling you, God is doing amazing things. Last year at camp, when we had altar call, it was full with young people every single time. Young people just were being filled with the Holy Ghost. God was touching them, changing their lives in a tremendous, tremendous way. Just before the camp, let me share this testimony. I know time is flying real fast. I wish somebody could stop the time. But, you know, we pray, Lord, we need the good weather for the camp. You know, we invest so much in it. We rent 2 trucks, full trucks of equipment. We bring it to the mountains. It takes us about 10 days to set everything up there. About 30, 40 big tents. Then a giant tent for the services, a giant tent for canteen, for kitchen area. We bring the big generators. We bring gas, natural gas for cooking, you know, regular gas for generators. We invest so much in it. Time, effort, funds, whatever. You know, before I go any further, I want to thank you for praying for us and for helping us. I mean, I want to be honest with you. Without your help, this camp would not be possible. These young people would never heard the gospel, the news of Jesus Christ. They would never heard that there is light. There is not darkness all the time. And Jesus is light and he can change their lives. So, you know, we did all this and we came in the moment when it was time for us to go to the youth camp. When we came back, we would at 2 p.m. on Sunday, the 2 big buses would come. We're going to load all the young people there and drive them to the camp, which is about 200 miles away from Maikop. When we came to the service at 10 a.m. the same Sunday, it was raining cats and dogs. Meteorologist said it's going to rain for all this entire week, 99% chance of rain. I mean, you cannot beat that. We said, Lord, you know, you're creator of the universe. You can change the weather for us. Maybe the flowers, the trees need some watering, but we need the showers of the Holy Ghost. We need the showers of blessing at that camp. God, you can change the weather. You know, that's not the story I read in some kind of newspaper. I'm telling you the personal experience. When we came back at 2 p.m. to load the buses, when the last boy jumped on the bus, I was amazed. I mean, I'm telling you right now, and I am about to cry. It stopped raining. Just clouds would begin to open up, and I was able to see bright blue sky. It's been raining for a week, and right after prayer, I was able to see bright sky. At the camp, 6 straight days, not even 1 drop of rain. When we came back home from the camp, it began to rain again. I'm telling you, when I saw that, I said, I know, I believe it's going to be anointed time in the Lord. We had many, many people there. You know, I know time is flying. People just were filled with the Holy Ghost. Power of God was so amazing. Great things were happening. Lives were being changed and touched. We had one Buddhist young boy at the camp. He's about 20 years old. For the first and second day, he was, you know, sitting like this, doing his yoga. I was kind of, man, what's going on there? For the third day, he was doing nothing. Fourth, fifth, and sixth day, just worshiping Jesus. I'm telling you, I was amazed to see the transformation just within a couple of days. When we came back home from the camp, the lady gives me a call and says, Reverend Kissel, I said, yeah, I want to talk to you. She was kind of angry, you know. I said, yeah, sure, what do you want to talk about? Well, what have you done to my son? You know, I began to think, man, maybe something happened, maybe some incident, something, you know, because we took all these 100 kids to the mountains, we fed them 4 days, four meals a day, and, you know, for the straight 6 days, we kept them there. You know, I began to think, maybe something happened there, but I couldn't think of anything. And I said, sure, let's talk, let's set a date, and let's talk what happened. When I meet her, she goes, well, we are a very wealthy family. We do not have need in anything, you know, for Russia, which is uncommon. We don't have need in anything, but my son left home 2 years ago doing drugs and smoking. He was living on the street. I tried every single thing in the world. I paid lots of money to bring him back. I could not. When he came to your meeting, he is different. He's speaking in some kind of other tongue, some kind of other language. He's so nice. He's so gentle. He could not say a sentence without using a curse word. Now he's not cursing anymore. He stopped doing drugs, stopped drinking, stopped smoking. He came back to the house. What have you done to him? He said, ma'am, that's not me. That's you are not asking the right person. God is doing great things, and God changed your son tremendously, you know. And I can go on these testimonies how God was changing people. You know, just lives were changed and touched. And I want to tell you that we're able to do that because of you, your support, and your great prayers. We really, really appreciate that. And, you know, I want to, we're going to be showing this short video in just a second here. And I want to ask you to pray for us in Russia. I want to let you know that we pray for you and for your church every single day. We pray for you. And we need your prayers very, very much. Because the enemy, the darkness, is trying to attack. But if God is with us, who can be against us? If God is with us, nobody can be against us. So I want to ask you, please pray for us as we're going to go back home in about a week. We have one more Sunday, and then we're driving back to Chicago, flying back from Chicago back to Russia. I want to ask you, please pray for us. You know, we're trying to reach out to as many people as we can. We're trying, you know, to... one thing I want to mention with you, when I came to America a couple of years ago with my wife and our son Samuel, I went to the Christian bookstore and I bought Samuel a beautiful kid's Bible. It was about $20. Beautiful. Amazing. It took us over an hour to pick up the good one. But the choice was so big, you know. When we came back home, it was my dream, my idea. Man, I wish we could do something like that in Russia. We could get these Bibles and give them to the children that's outside. So I went to our Christian bookstore, which is the size from this pew, from this chair to me, and to that brother. That's it. You just come in and go out. And I saw a beautiful Bible there for sale. You know, it was about $25. And I said, ma'am, how many do you have? And she goes, well, how many do you need? I said, well, we need over 120. She goes, what? I have two. I said, well, what was the reason for asking then, you know? But I said, well, I mean, can you order for us? I'm ready here to buy over 100 of these Bibles to give them to the children. Can you order them for us? She did something on the computer, said nobody has them. I said, okay, I'm going to do some research. So I went back home, did some research. I called to the big cities, Moscow, you know, which is 15 million people city, and nobody had them. They stopped printing them. They were beautiful Bibles in Russian language. I look in the very last page of the Bible. It says, Detroit, Michigan. And this is where I was calling next. Make a long story real short, we found out that this was a Church of Christ who was printing these Bibles in Austria and shipping them to Russia, not going through customs. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, what I mean here. So after negotiation with them for over half an hour over the phone, finally we made a deal. They're going to ship us 220 Bibles for $20 each, not for $25, but for $20 each, and it's going to be in time for our Christmas program. So it was a tremendous answer from God. We were so excited, so happy to give those kids a Bible. It is something that's unbelievable. You'll be seeing pictures in the video. You know, kids in Russia, they don't eat candies every single day. How many of you like candies? I love sweets. Man, I love sweets. I, you know, my wife teaches me how to eat healthy. But I love sweets. I would eat them for dinner, supper, and lunch, of course. And for breakfast a little bit. And for a snack before going to bed. And, you know, we said, let's do something. So we buy, like, make a big boxes, big bags. We fill them up with candies. With candies, 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 candies. And we give them to the children along with the Bible. You ask a child in America, do you want a candy? Next question going to be, what kind? Yes, sir. I tried it many times and it worked the same way. You want a candy? Oh, well, what kind do you have? In Russia, if you ask a kid, you want a candy? They, oh, yeah. They don't ask what kind. Yeah. You know, because their parents cannot afford to buy candies for them every single day or month or even year. And, you know, we made big boxes, big bags of candies and distributed them to the people in the community. Over 100 of these boxes. And we gave them candies and the Bible. And listen to this. I was amazed to see how the kids, they don't eat candy every day. They want to dig in. But they would move the candies and read their Bible. I was amazed to see. And I'm telling you, so many families came. Their parents, daddies, mommies came to the church when they saw the transformation of their child, of their kid. So God is doing great things, amazing things, things are happening. I want to thank you for allowing us, for helping us to buy those Bibles, those candies, doing these youth camps. One thing I want to do before video, and we're going to do the video in just 1 second. For this youth camp, you know, God really blessed us tremendously with some funds, and we were able even to make the T-shirts for the youth camp. It says, as you can see, One Way Jesus, my cup right there, and it says One Way Jesus here. You know, we gave these T-shirts to every person who was in the camp. They were just overwhelmed. Wow, I mean, I know for America, T-shirt doesn't sound much. Everybody does them, you know. For Russia, it is a big deal. We were the only and the first church in the city who ordered the Christian T-shirt. So this is a little gift for Pastor Chris. Little something from Russia with love. From Russia with love. Thank you, sir. Each time you would put it on, remember to pray for Russia. That would be good. Thank you. Well, if we could do the video, I would appreciate that. Thank you.
You see that picture on that video, everything that's going on there. I just want to let you know it's not us. God is doing great things, and He is worthy to be praised. You know, we thank you for praying for us. Thank you for helping us very, very much. You know, as I asked you already, please pray for us. Because, you know, we are thinking what to do for this Christmas outreach. We're going to do Bibles, of course. We're going to do candies. But we want to expand. We want to do something more. So if you would pray for us, I would really appreciate that. And as I said, we need your help and support. Thank you so much. We love you. Pastor Chris. Thank you.
Isn't your heart just stirred? Don't you want to do something? We're going to do something today, and we want you to help us do it. Let me talk to you really quickly. I want to talk to you about a city that was so dark that it was overcome by just spiritual darkness. It was the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is what God says. He says that that city, there was an outcry from that city, the people that were being tortured and killed, and all the pain coming from that city, those that were being destroyed in that city, that their cries reached heaven. This city was overtaken by darkness. Cities can be overtaken by darkness. Countries can be overtaken by darkness. Families can be overtaken by darkness. And Sodom and Gomorrah was such a city. And God came to Abraham face to face. Abraham talked to God face to face. And Abraham had a loved one that was living in this dark city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so Abraham told God, he asked him this, well, will God destroy the righteous with the unrighteous? That's a pretty deep theological question, isn't it? Will God destroy the righteous with the unrighteous? Will you destroy the whole city and all the unrighteous people and the righteous people of that city die? And God says, no, I won't. God does not destroy righteous people. Unrighteous people actually destroy themselves. But here's what Abraham said. He said, well, God, if there are 50 righteous people. I want you to get this. This isn't even a Christian righteousness. It's not even a they follow the law of Moses righteousness. This was way before that. This was just simply were they God-fearing people. And he says, if there are 50 in that city, will you spare the city? And God said, I would spare the city, but there aren't 50 people. And so what does Abraham do? He bargains a little more with God. He says, what about 45? What about 45? Just a five-person swing, God. Would you do it for a five-person swing? God says, no, I wouldn't. And it goes down. It goes down to 30. It goes down to 20. The bottom line of the story was there were not enough righteous people in that city. Here's the point, though. Just a few righteous people would have saved the entire city. Just a few people with light could have saved that entire city. Just five people, God? Five people? And I'm talking to some people that you don't think like you matter. You don't feel like you matter. I'm here to tell you that Plano, Texas can be saved because of you. Just a few people shining light. What we were exposed to today, that was just a few people shining light in My Cup, Russia. And brother, I am so excited to see that light spreading to other cities. Isn't that exciting, Redemption Church? It's not just confined to a city. It's not just confined to a family. It's not confined to a building. It's spreading, it's spreading, it's spreading. Because that is the power of light. I've been praying all this week. We need people that are going to shine the light at their college campus. We need just a few people to shine the light on their jobs. Now, here's the deal. You are not the majority. So, family, they are not the majority. They may never be the majority. But that doesn't mean they aren't saving their country. That doesn't mean they aren't saving their city. Because it doesn't take the majority to save Sodom and Gomorrah. It took just a few people. I'm very excited about the Kiesels. I'm so glad that they're here. We're about to open up these altars. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. We've worshiped together, and we've received the Word of God together. You just saw Vitalis Kiesel's life is basically the Word of God. He just lived out that life, and you got to be exposed to that. You received the Word of God today. And third, we're going to come to this altar and talk to God today. But here's what I want you to do. I want you, we've been asking you to pray, I want you to come and bring your offering to this altar today. And I want you to come all the way up and I want you to leave your offering at this altar. If you don't have any money today, we want you to come and we want you to bring your prayer to this altar. Because here's what we want you to know. You just saw a life that matters. Your life matters too. Your life matters not just in Plano, but your life can matter today all the way on the other side of the globe. Does anybody believe that? Do you believe that? I believe that so strongly. When you are in God's will and in God's control, anything is possible. You can touch a Tanya today. You can touch a Roman today. Wasn't that so just rip your heart out. See those people that are so thankful. They're already thankful for you today. Why don't you come to this altar today? If you want special prayer, you come right up here. We will pray for you. If you are experiencing darkness in your life, you come right on up. We're going to pray for you. We're going to see great things happen. Come on, Redemption Church. Don't wait around. This is what we do. We're going to come to this altar. We're going to talk to God. In Jesus' name, Lord, in your name, Lord, we pray. Come on, somebody bring your offering and bring your prayer right up here. Somebody pray for Russia. God, Lord, we pray for My Cup, Russia right now. Lord, we pray for the Kiesels, God. We pray for Russia. We pray for all those young people, Jesus. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would take the gift that we have today, Lord, the gift that we are giving, Lord, that you would multiply it. Lord, that you would use it for your glory, Jesus, that you would touch those cities. Lord, that you would touch those new churches that they're starting.
for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.